Hey everybody, welcome to the F This Movie commentary track for Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
Universal, and MCA company.
And happy Scary Movie Month. My name is Patrick Bromley from FThisMovie.net. I'm joined for this annual commentary by Mike.
Hey everybody.
Adam Risky.
Happy Scary Movie Month.
And JB.
I'm too scared to talk.
Thank you to Kathy O'Brien, who first put the bug in my ear about making this our commentary this year. And I like the idea, and so here we are talking about it. I genuinely love John Carpenter's score over these opening credits.
It's good stuff, co-scored by Alan Howarth.
Who we have seen in concert.
Yes, he rocked the con.
And you called it what? Mr. Howarth's opus.
Mr. Howarth's opus. Yeah, he was great. He was playing just synthesizer, but he had his eyes closed for a lot of it, so he was super into it.
He was feeling it.
He was like, yeah. But no bullshit, if you have the opportunity to see him at a con, you should do it. It's good.
Howarth Con?
Yes.
We're out of stuff to say already, everyone.
Millie Moore, she edited the shit out of this. That's how she got her ace.
This is the Halloween entry, of course, that does not have Michael Myers and was originally going to be part of a yearly anthology. The idea was, well, we finished telling Michael Myers' story, and so we are going to just do a yearly movie that takes place on Halloween. This was the first, and people hated it so much that they scrapped that idea and waited five more years, and then brought Michael Myers back for a series of disappointing sequels.
Which is a shame.
Four, because White I can Little, you my boy!
I can understand people being disappointed, because as they point out incessantly on the special features on this disc, it was not marketed correctly. You have to prepare the audience for this. Because Michael Myers aside, a yearly anthology where every year it's a different horror film on Halloween, I would love that.
Yes.
But and literally, Michael Myers is in this, but that's...
on the TV.
Yeah, that's splitting hairs.
So, Joe Dante was originally supposed to direct this movie.
I'd like to see that. Written and directed by Tommy Lee Wallace, if you're trying to sync it up.
TL Dubs! He was the editor... and production designer or art director?
And he's a one-armed drummer.
Art director.
Art director.
On the first Halloween. Friends with Carpenter. They go way back. He was offered to direct Halloween 2. Did not like the script. I don't blame you, TL Dubs. and so then Joe Dante was offered to direct this. That kind of fell apart because he went off to do Twilight Zone. And it ended up with Tommy Lee Wallace. Joe Dante was the one who had recommended Nigel Neal as a screenwriter.
Who had written the first pass and all the
Quatermass movies. And then Nigel Neal left the project. Carpenter did a rewrite. Tommy Lee Wallace did not really like Carpenter's rewrite, so he did another pass. And he's the only credited screenwriter, but he has claimed...
yeah, that's...
It's about 60%.
And here's how popular jogging was back then.
That's what I look like when
this
I run.
This opening shot, I think, is actually footage of Mike Pomero running to the Hall H line for San Diego Comic-Con every
Game of Thrones panel. You the man. Man. Yeah. You're a robot like Stacey Milken. Spoilers for Halloween 3.
I actually really like, and I'm not a particular fan of this film. No, I'm not. I like how this film opens, because I wish more films would open this way.
In color.
Exactly. He's running, and this car is following him, and instantly we're wondering what's going on.
Right.
We're invested if we care about another human being.
So you love this movie. It gets it right.
I
right
want
off
an
the
estimate!
Right? Oh, bend that door.
That's why he's pounding on the
yeah.
on the door. So yeah, this was the hated Halloween movie for a long time, and I feel like it's really only in recent years that people
the tide has turned. Yes, completely.
And now people are like, oh, this movie is actually really weird and fun and unique and not like anything else except for Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And it's super entertaining. I don't know.
And I wanted to talk briefly about the Invasion of the Body Snatchers thing, because Tommy Lee Wallace admits that that's what it is. But when I rewatched it about a week ago, I was really struck by how closely it follows Invasion of the Body Snatchers, including the fact that both protagonists are doctors, even down to that sort of trope where he's going to figure out what's wrong.
Aren't they both in Santa Mira, like, purposely?
You're right.
Because
that's
of,
a,
yeah, another
right,
you know, shout-out. Do you know what I hate about Santa Mira?
All the damn vampires.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And the
These
robots.
Guys are making love.
Mm-hmm.
And we're reminded about how many people back then owned an El Camino.
There only there was a chain to get a car to hit this guy in the shoulder. Oh, good, good for him.
I found such a chain.
This is like the Rube Goldberg machine of horror movie deaths where the man pulls the chain
know,
and the
this,
car
This guy's
follows
death
it
is
down.
So unsatisfying for being the first death in a wacky movie.
Now, wait, why do you say it's unsatisfying? Because
it's that.
Okay.
And that's lame.
What
no
you
snakes
mean is,
or bugs anywhere.
Okay, I was going to say you want more gore or yeah. something more spectacular.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So just crushing a man.
No, not interesting.
To be fair, I think he just separated his shoulder.
Yeah. That's, he's taking that shoulder nap.
There's the patented... what is it like the conspiracy theory that men in suits with
shot.
Gloves
That's
are out
That's pure
to get
Dean
you.
Cundey right there.
Mm-hmm. I ate breakfast next to him at Flashback Weekend.
Dean
and
Cundey?
We didn't talk to each other at all, but we knew.
Cundey had a really interesting panel at Flashback where he talked about being the DP on all these movies, and he's so good and he's such a professional that he talks about them in ways that you're not used to films like this being talked about because to him it's a job. I thought it was really interesting. Also, I wanted to talk about the subtitles, that we have the incessant title, which tells us how close we are to Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to think about...
Stonehenge.
Oh, I didn't catch the foreshadowing.
Oh,
where the demons
look who
dwell,
loves this movie now.
Where the banshees, where the banshees live, and they do live well. The Shining does the same thing with
right.
what day it is on the screen. And I noticed just recently The Visit... also did that with the day on the screen. I think we have a new horror movie trope. What day is it?
And here is the cameo
That's
by...
the scariest thing in the movie, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty rough. Here's the cameo by Kanye West.
Tommy Lee Wallace performing all of the music and the vocals and the voiceover in this commercial.
And the producers were told that they needed a jingle, but they didn't want to. They didn't want to pay for rights. They didn't want the possibility of someone suing. So they were told, "Use London Bridge. It's in the public domain."
But like the Fergie London Bridge.
Now,
how come every time I get wear my silver shamrock cam goes wonga wonga wonga?
Now here's my question, and this
I feel like it started stronger than it ended.
This is a spoiler alert if you've never seen this movie before. Gentlemen,
yeah.
Why do we return to this gas station at the end of the movie? That really surprised me when I first saw this movie. Just for a sense of closure?
Yes.
This is where it all began.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the movie. Not really the events of the movie.
It made
Those
me,
began hundreds of years ago at Stonehenge.
It made me think like the producers were so impressed by this guy's performance as the Good Samaritan. It's like, we got to bring him back at the
Maybe
end.
Maybe they just decided, hey, how about a black guy survives a horror movie?
Well, he's also got that line at the end of the hospital scene where he's like, I'll see you in the denouement. And we're just like, oh, okay.
Okay, well, that doesn't happen, and I think you're racist.
Why? Because I said denouement?
Because you just did that Amos and Andy accent.
I don't even know who that is.
I thought I was racist because...
It's that Nicolas Cage movie.
Oh, okay.
Patrick said he's the only black guy who ever survived a horror movie, and I was the only one who laughed, which means I'm racist. You got to say this about Cundey. He's really good. Even when he's working on substandard material, the movie really looks good.
He got good coverage on Dernbutt in '93.
Also, it's not substandard material. Here's the first appearance of Tom Atkins in a rare leading man role.
Yeah.
Now, I have a question for you three gentlemen. And
yes,
maybe...
I would fuck him. I'm sorry, what was your question?
Here's
That's
why
amazing.
Here's why God made fathers, babe. Here's where God made fathers.
There's Joshua Miller. Son of
Dennis Miller,
Exorcist. What's his
Jason
name?
Miller.
Jason Miller,
Miller
the Exorcist. Later
and
of Near
brother
Dark
of
fame.
Patrick Miller.
He would go on to play Homer in Near Dark.
No, wait. The brother is Patrick
Bromley. It's me.
The older brother was also in a lot of movies
yeah.
and stuff.
See, there he is. He's an old man in a young man's body. He just wants to fuck.
No. Later on, he would be in Near Dark, and he's
Have
really...
Have you not been listening to this commentary?
No, I have. Okay. I'm just pointing out that at this point he doesn't look like the creepy little kid in Near Dark.
So here's the story about Nancy Loomis. And you can put some newspaper down because I'm about to drop some fucking names. I was with our friend Heather Wixon and we were speaking to Nancy Loomis and Heather brought up something about Halloween 3 and she, you know, she enjoyed her performance in Halloween 3 and Nancy Loomis, totally seriously, I'm not in that movie. She's like, oh, Heather didn't know how to respond. So I think she was like, yeah, right. Aren't you in the beginning? No, I'm not in that movie. Okay. And so we just let it go. And then later, we're walking down the hall with Tom Atkins. And she says, I just talked to Nancy Loomis. She said she's not in the movie. He's like, fuck that. She played my wife.
Could it be she wants to forget? Because at the time they made this, she was married to Tommy Lee Wallace.
She was. It's funny to listen to commentaries from this group. Because you go to the... right, and when she comes on screen, Tommy Lee Wallace, there's my ex-wife. And when you're listening to the Escape from New York commentary with Kurt Russell and John Carpenter, Adrian Barbeau is Carpenter's ex. Season Hubley is Kurt Russell's ex. They all just married and divorced the ladies.
So back to Tom Atkins.
His ex-wife is in this movie too. Did you know that?
Yeah.
No.
She plays the woman who gets the laser in the mouth.
You know it!
You're kidding.
Snakes and bugs!
How great is that? Because he... His real-life wife at the time is dying on screen while he's next door just screwing a 23-year-old. Fucking a robot.
And that's what I wanted to talk about.
She's a small wonder. And she'll make Atkins' life feel bright. La, 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 la. See you later.
I'm going to survive this movie.
Let's talk about robot fucking. I think it crosses the line. No, what I wanted to talk about is Tom Atkins in this is an older gentleman with the mustache, and he beds a much younger lady.
Yeah,
and
he does.
In the fog,
gets her same thing. He gets her buck
milking. What is that?
What do you mean?
What? Why did they? Why did this group keep casting him as the sexy older guy who gets women?
Because ladies want that Atkins dick. They're on the Atkins diet.
See, he just smacked her ass from the backside. He's going to show her how Atkins pulls off that new bread.
Oh, Dr. Chalice, you're a terror.
He's the one they call Dr. Feelgood. He's the one that make nurses feel all right.
Yeah.
Because at Heather Wixon's horror thing, she showed the fog, and we're sitting there watching the fog, and everyone there who hadn't seen it before, they weren't buying it.
No.
When there was that little occurrence, people were like, wait, what?
I buy it completely.
Yeah. Here comes the, oh no, I thought he was going to go into the room.
Doctor,
for a second.
Do you want to button that top? No, you're good?
No.
All right. Mm-hmm. No, you look great. You look great.
Also, his hair looks like a wig.
It's not.
His mustache smells like a vagina. Here comes the most aggressive game of I've got your nose that's ever been on.
There's the nurse. Oh, Dr. Chalice, you're a terror.
Halloween movies obsessed with hospitals.
Yeah, I was obsessed
with hospitals.
Yeah, that seems to be the trope, as well as this whole thing from the time where men in suits were out to get you. And
constantly
you'd be very
killing
afraid
hobos.
Of man in suits.
Never trust a guy who bought a suit from
That's
the men's
Doug
warehouse.
Llewellyn from the People's Court. I might be wrong. I might be wrong. I don't have IMDb open.
Okay, so.
He still has the mask.
He's literally holding the mask.
He still has the mask.
Knuckle sandwich? Nope, just kidding. That's the end of Karate Kid 2.
Yep.
Nice.
I like when later on, I think it's two medical technicians or two doctors start talking about how much strength you would need to do this, but they're objectively talking about it.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of stuff.
Turned his nose into a bunk bed. It's a double
Why
nose.
Did iodine come out of his face, though? That's what I'm not understanding.
Stage blood. Very difficult to get the
is?
Right shade
okay.
on film.
Now he's wiping off the iodine.
And I've always seen this shot as like a studio note. maybe he can wipe off the gloves on something, and then there's more blood. But if you were wearing gloves, why would you have to wipe them off? And that's why you're wearing gloves.
A second black character just survived this horror movie.
This movie's transgressive.
Progressive! 1982, though, good year for horror movies. John Carpenter made The Thing. George Romero made Creepshow.
This is a great year for horror
Tommy films. Lee Wallace, well, it's the best year for movies, period. Tommy Lee Wallace made Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
Didn't we do 82 once for...
That was the first after this movie, Fest. Yeah. Because it's awesome.
That was the year I was born.
Cool.
I might be wrong about that. I don't have IMDb open.
I will admit that this sequence takes a long time.
Yeah. Although in the pantheon of actors running, I think he acquits himself nicely.
This is like that scene in Zoolander.
Mm-hmm. Ho! I'm out.
Good thing he wore those gloves.
Yeah. Imagine if you park next to that guy. How awkward that would be.
The minute you see that sequence, you know on the Shout Factory Blu-ray, that's going to be part of the menu.
Well, sure.
So now instead of the money shot, dynamite. We have the menu shot. And of course, like most car fires, people just stand around.
Well, what are they going to do? Give him medical attention?
Get him to a hospital.
Okay. I want to see them making
that guy's not a firefighter.
Oh, he is my all-time favorite extra. When somebody
a drunk.
Oh yeah,
But watch when the guy comes up to talk to him. He spends the entire time agreeing and disagreeing with everything this guy says.
Yeah, and
it's my favorite part of the movie.
I thought this one shot was like a test when they were thinking about making it in 3D.
He's in character. Not buying it. I'm on board.
They tell people. Yeah. They just tell people to make crosses.
Yeah, you're right.
Flesh out the scene.
We need
it to look three dimensional.
It's a busy hospital where a car just exploded.
And what are those two guys on the left talking about? Yeah, I know. It's the worst coffee ever. It's the worst coffee I've ever had. This coffee, it's mud. This coffee, horrible coffee.
I don't think she's coming back, Tom.
And Tom Atkins is dialing a 976 number.
He has a horrible sex addiction.
He totally does in this movie. It's crazy. He goes on this Scooby-Doo sex adventure and ignores his children.
I don't know, I've never fucked a mask before.
I can buy so many things. In this movie, I can buy that Stacey Nelkin is a robot. I can buy the Stonehenge stuff. I can buy all of that. What I can't buy is that these three dog shit masks would be the hottest ticket. They leave the car, by the way.
Just leave the car.
The hottest ticket this Halloween. Like, do you want pumpkin, skeleton, or witch? Shitty rubber mask. Beep, boop,
here's
beep.
The first
oils can.
Here's the first appearance by Stacey Nelkin, the human approximation of a Manchichi mixed with a Don Bluth drawing.
That is what she looks like. She looks like a character from Rock and Rule. That's from
Rock-a-doodle.
That's from my early 80s Canadian peeps.
So, on the featurette, Tommy Lee Wallace talks about the masks, and they went to Don Post.
Beep, boop.
Which is where you want to go if you're looking for masks. And actually, only one of them was designed for the film. They went with two that they already had.
Yeah.
It seems like they should have went the extra mile and designed something that would make, like you just referenced, that would make that part believable. That you'd sit there and you'd say, I could see a little kid wanting that.
Yeah.
Or...
A lot of cost-cutting measures on this movie.
Could we be underestimating the fact that maybe one of the things the film is saying is that if you show something on TV enough, kids will want it?
Well, I will say that, again, Videodrome, which also came out this year, 82 is the shit. You know, we're always praising Videodrome for how ahead of its time it is in terms of what it says about TV. And the influence of TV, this movie's doing a lot of the same stuff. It doesn't get credit for it.
And that's one of the things I like about this film.
There's so many things you like about this film.
Well, there's one and a half so far. Tom Atkins' mustache,
as
previously referenced, and this TV thing.
Especially Doug Llewellyn's performance.
Yes.
Especially the very end of the film.
Yes.
Where it couldn't be more explicit. Although, again, the very end of the film is right from Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah, I mean, it's... It's like when Oasis ends a song that sounds just like the Beatles. It's like they're not trying to hide it.
Yeah. So tell me about the relationship between these two, because I'm watching the movie.
She wants it in the worst way.
Because I feel sad it's implied for her. That he has given it to her.
Yeah, before. They seem to have history together. I don't know, like. She seems like an innocent in all of this.
She his money penny?
Yeah.
But it's call. Like if Goldfinger at the end of the movie stabs Moneypenny right, to death exactly. just to get back.
That's why I feel bad.
She's not good enough to be Moneypenny. She's like his coin star or something. I'll be performing at Hackee's this weekend.
This was added in, I think, after the fact.
Yeah. What you mean the scene?
Yeah, this was like a late addition maybe to the screenplay.
Notice he's got like a handkerchief in his back pocket. Those are ladies' panties. For like the entire movie though. Like in every scene he's got that.
He's got to wipe his dick off. Sorry, this is so gross. I don't mean for it to be.
No, it's not. He wiped it off. It's clean.
The one thing I actually like about this character that we just saw.
Keep mentioning things you like.
Well, I'll bring it up when they show her again. Is she reaches a dilemma with the evidence, mm-hmm. which I actually think is sort of clever.
Yes.
And this
I'm watching that this tree kind of program.
Shit is, okay, this makes me crazy in movies that every TV is showing an old cartoon that no one would actually be watching ever.
In a bar.
This is before cable, but there was one broadcast station that showed nothing but public domain cartoons. The other thing I don't like, whenever you see something
on TV. Get it, everyone,
TV,
get it.
Whenever you see something on TV.
Not
in
as
the
good
80s,
as Satan's Little Helper.
It has something to do with what's going on in the movie. It could never be a random weather forecast.
Right. Or when people turn on newscasts. It's always
you guys like sports?
Right.
We're in a bar? Smoke and drink beer and talk about sports? Ugh.
You see that mural? I fucked the woman who painted that mural.
I read that Stacey Nelken was hired on the spot after her audition for this movie.
That's true.
As she was walking out, they said, you have the job, and she said that never happened.
And then also in Roger Ebert's review for this movie, he says that he doesn't like the movie, but that Stacey Nelken is great.
Yeah, and then he ends the review by saying what?
That she's fetching?
No.
What else?
The last line in the review is like, too bad she has to play her last scene without a head. And you're like, fucking Roger, you've been doing this shit since 82.
And especially at the end of his life, he was doing that
a lot. Especially if he didn't like something.
Like with Super?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
I told you all not to read it. Whatever, that's all on you.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Come back.
Stacey Nelken is cuter than a button, though. You
can't deny that. Does my breath smell like a vagina?
I heard that women like red flannel shirts. And hair that's feathered. You can tell I spent some time with a blow dryer.
If you just look at her from the back, she looks like Weird Al. Who Tommy Atkins has also fun.
I always wondered if this is Tommy Lee with a shout-out to Psycho, because there's a scene...
Shout-out to lawn maintenance.
There's a scene in Psycho in Sam's hardware store that looks exact. I mean, it's with the rake. It's exactly
then
the
I'm
same.
Sure it is.
Yeah.
Since clearly that seemed to be one of his goals with this, was to do a lot of little references.
So you maintain that real children would not want those masks.
I maintain that real humans wouldn't want those masks, which is why they turned Stacey Nelken into a robot.
I like the skull.
Yeah, it's fine. By the way, when I was a kid, I hadn't seen this movie. My brother had the novelization. The cover scared me. And I had just seen a clip of it's where the kid is like pulling on the pumpkin mask. Yeah. And I, you know, when you're a kid and you don't know what's going on, you just like fill in the blanks. I assumed it was like melting his head because it kind of looks like that. And I was really scared of seeing this movie. And then I saw it. It's not that scary.
I saw this for the first time at a 24-hour marathon.
Really?
And with it was
like pretty
the music
recently.
Box. Like 10 years ago, less.
So not that reason?
It was great with an audience.
Well,
fantastic with an audience. And I had heard for years about like how it was just one of the worst horror movies you could watch, and then I was stunned by how much fun it was.
I will admit that when enough time passes, there's an audience for everything. Every horror movie, all of a sudden, people are like, no, that thing's great.
God, I love the fact that he's calling his family to say that he's not going to pick up his kids on Saturday. And he's got a six pack on the ready.
Yeah.
He's just like the twinkle in his eye when he gets off this phone because he knows he's about to go on his Scooby Doo sex adventure is just wonderful.
Okay, took care of the kids. Let's go.
Dick cloth ready.
Like totally.
Totally dick cloth.
So in 10 or 15 years, are we going to get The Happening apologist?
There's already people I like who swear happening. That movie's... That it knows what it is. There's already a cult.
I wrote a whole column about that.
What medications are they on?
I don't know.
Elijah Wood! Skeleton!
At this point, thinking about the film, we might wonder, what does Tommy Lee Wallace have against the Irish? Is this a long...
Yeah.
It's kind of kind of a fable where we're meant to leave hating the Irish again. You know, they'll sell you a mask and then they'll kill you. That's what the Irish are about. When they're not drinking. The curse of the bottle and a mask that'll take your head off and give you bugs.
The guy saying it sounds Irish. Is this some sort of self-loathing?
He's a self...
Hey, today, fuck the Irish.
He's a self-hating leprechaun.
Salt of the earth.
Not a robot.
Well, no, the townspeople aren't robots.
No, I know.
I love the homeless guy later, who's really bitter.
Yeah.
I like that a lot because everyone in this town thought they were going to get jobs when the Silver Shamrock plant expanded. Hey, I have a film question for the three of you.
This bothers me. Why wouldn't it just be called Dublin? Get your shit together, Santa Mira.
Well, it's clear for... Oh, there's Michael. They walked around this town and they just slapped up some signs.
Well, yeah.
Sure.
But here's my question. In a lot of the shots later in the film, he makes sure that the factory is in the background,
yeah,
which I really, really liked. Is he framing it, or was that an optical? Do you guys remember?
I'll have to look. I don't
know. Okay, you'll see it, because it really hits you over the head.
The eye in the sky is watching us all. That was a casino reference just for you, Mike.
Thought a casino when the guy burned up in his car. This movie's filled with casino references.
Yeah. Scorsese says he's such a hack. He buys everything from Halloween 3.
Oh, right there, you mean?
No.
I know, I'm just kidding.
Later.
Ooh, Railroad Avenue. Nice.
Why is she driving?
Because she's a robot, and she has navigation.
She's not a robot yet.
She's not a robot yet.
She has nav systems.
She's not a robot. Here's what I'm suggesting.
The Rose of Shannon Motel. That just sounds dirty.
In a 1980s film,
yeah,
it would be rare for the woman to drive. Or is it because he's drinking?
Maybe it's because we've already established Halloween 3 is super fucking progressive.
He brought a bunch of road beers with him. I mean, I agree with you. I think he's probably wasted by now.
Ooh, that didn't take long. Mm-hmm.
You like this picnic table shirt?
This made me wonder, they actually went to a small town and they sort of took it over, and Tommy Lee Wallace said, you know, you see the townspeople in the film and they're very nosy and suspicious, and he said in real life they were very nosy and suspicious, but every time I watch these sequences I wonder if the hotel was pink or if the film company painted it pink on the outside. Also, we might argue that this is a pay on to Psycho as well. So, is that the film production company, or did they find a pink motel? Because, you know, in certain circles, pink motel is a euphemism for...
For what?
A hotel that's specifically designed for a certain activity.
What activity?
Well, you could rent the rooms by the hour.
Why?
To do what?
To, like, watch TV?
You can watch one episode of Lost.
Oh, okay. With commercials, or do you have to bring your own DVD because you only got 45 minutes? Like, do you have to plug in the DVD player yourself? Because that might take 15 minutes, like getting all the AV hookup.
Have you ever made love with a woman?
Not here.
Well, that all changes tonight. It's weird how much stock this movie puts in Halloween novelties and masks. This guy's a traveling Halloween mask salesman.
He's not a traveling salesman. It's implied that he has a shop.
Okay, that's
and
right.
and he's the biggest.
Right.
He's their biggest seller. And clearly, these people were added for comic relief.
And it works. Just because they like suck. Space. He's like Buford, yes. T, whatever. Justice? Pepper? Oh. What's his name?
Yeah, Pepper.
Pepper.
Sheriff Pepper. Yeah. And Buford T. Justice.
Your days are numbered, asshole.
Buford T. Justice is the Jackie Gleason character in Smokey.
Oh, there we go.
That's for you, Heath.
This movie gives me anxiety because it's just a bunch of strangers like talking to Tom Atkins and Stacey Nelkin and just not minding their own business. And if that happened to me in real life,
so this is Tommy Lee Wallace's, not Tom. This is Atkins' wife.
Yep. So I would like you to watch this because the film.
I have to. We're doing the commentary.
Well, take the blindfold off, and
it's the only way I can finish.
that the film just showed us. The type of woman who would really be attracted to him, whereas the reality of the film, the fiction of the film, is showing us that he's this player.
He's gonna get her Buck Nelkin pretty soon.
In the featurette, Stacey Nelkin has plenty to say about that, and she had a clause in her contract. And if you consider that when you watch the scene, and it's coming up, get ready, take off your blindfold. Wallace was really clever about getting something that's fairly explicit mm-hmm. and still conforming mm-hmm. to the letter of her contract.
Mm-hmm.
I was very surprised by that.
This is my favorite exchange maybe in a movie ever.
It's really pimp.
Where do you want to sleep? That's a stupid question. On top of you, Nelkin. Beep, boop, beep.
I like...
You taste like wires.
He is such a pimp.
I do like how she smiles before she kisses him, so it's just that much less rapey.
Yeah. There's nothing better than consent.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Ugh, that cat's a robot.
There's shots like the shot that they just showed where you can tell they went to a real town because that's an authentically really weathered door frame and you could tell that that wasn't art directed. That sign, of course, you can tell was painted by the movie company. Recently, I watched a movie and I really liked it a lot, but every
was
sign...
Was it Halloween 3 Season of the Witch?
No. It was a Cemetery Without Crosses, where no matter what it was obvious, even Tombstones, that it was painted by the same guy. And after a while, it kind of took you out of the film. It's like, this town's been art directed. Also, Patrick was suggesting the film was ahead of its time, and certainly... besides the anti-TV message, I think all of this surveillance is an interesting addition to a horror film that intends to make us paranoid.
Imagine if your job was to watch these videos. God, that would suck. Bad quality.
I don't know. Anytime Atkins was in town, it'd be worth it for a couple
He'd be
minutes.
Like, ooh, this episode of the Atkins show is on.
You know what? They should show a camera inside their room that you'd think. This is the homeless man scene. Which I actually like.
I like that he's extra dirty. Like, we wouldn't know that he's a transient.
Plus, you can tell this was the 80s because the homeless man makes the interesting point, I ain't got no diseases, and Atkins lets him take a pull off his bottle, which I think you would be hard-pressed to let a homeless man do today.
Yeah.
Now that we know about disease.
This homeless man is 10 minutes away from becoming a chud.
So...
Which was also considered for a commentary.
Really?
Yeah. But I haven't watched it in a long time. It might not hold up. This is way more fun.
I don't know. In a lot of horror films, these characters pop up, and I love the little character parts. And the minute they speak, you know they're not going to be here long. But it's nice that the victims are at least given... I mean, they're just not, like... cardboard figures to be mowed down, that there's some attempt to make them a human being where we might say, well, he didn't have to die. At this point, you might wonder how he actually got those how did he get that dirt on his face in that way? What would you have to do during the day? Does that happen when you don't wash?
He reads a lot of newspapers, and then he goes oh my God, and touches his face.
There's so many possibilities. At one point, did he fall down? Did someone touch him and he wasn't aware? It's fascinating. And there he goes, off into movie posterity. Nice double take by Adkins.
He's such a weird choice for a leading man in this movie, and I love it. But he doesn't try to make the character likable at all.
And he's a weird choice in The Fog, I would say. I don't know what this production team had. Maybe he was great to work with?
I'm sure.
He seemed like a nice guy when I met him at shows.
Always in a good mood?
Mm-hmm.
Always just coming from fucking someone?
Mm-hmm. Always dick cloth in hand. When I met him at a show, it was right after I had seen...
isn't this character in the Blues Brothers?
It was right after I saw Night of the Creeps, and I asked him, I said, I've seen Halloween 3, I've seen Creepshow, I've seen Night of the Creeps, which of your movies should I watch next? And his answer was, I don't know, they're all fucking good. And I'm like, that's such a Tom Atkins.
And he's right! He didn't make shit.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Lethal Weapon. Doug Llewellyn fucking shit up. Easy. That's harder to do when it's not a robot.
I might have been confused at the beginning of the movie. Is this the same...
Michael Myers is not in this.
Oh, God, I love the spurt.
Yeah, this movie is good.
Is this the same guy that blew himself up in the car?
No.
No.
Okay.
That guy blew up in the car.
Right, but there's a couple of the suit guys who get done in, and then they come back to solidify that thing that...
I think it's because they only had, like, 5 stuntmen to work with.
Again, but the one we just saw, scene of that's small Dick Warlock, who's the stunt coordinator.
Yeah.
When I first watched this, I thought that was Colleen Camp on the right, but it's not.
So you're the one fucking my husband in this movie, right? What do you think? Small wonder, right?
Listen, Nelkin, I can give you some tips. There's a couple little things you want to do. Makes them explode.
This one's called the Pittsburgh Steel Express.
All I'm saying, honey, is you got a pinky finger?
Make sure you get the insert of the exposition.
Yes.
And the insert of the Coca-Cola shot.
It's going to become very important.
Notice how she isn't actually drinking that Coca-Cola. It would short-circuit her.
Yeah. Maybe she's like an Apple robot who can eat, though.
No, maybe.
Yeah.
The first time I saw this, I think I was legitimately surprised, though, when she ended up being a robot and he takes her head off. I was like, holy shit. But I didn't see that coming in this movie.
She only becomes a robot late in the movie.
I know. Exactly.
I'm aware of that.
Because on the featurette, they show...
That doesn't make for good jokes.
They show Tommy Lee Wallace at a screening, and that's everyone's first question, and it was, uh-oh.
This is an homage to Psycho.
Mm-hmm.
And a waste of a bedsheet.
And an homage to Bird on a Wire.
They show him at a repertory screening of the film, and that's everyone's first question. It's like, weren't you watching the film?
No.
It's obvious what the answer to that is. And at this point, we show how dull and empty her life really is.
She bought that nightgown at your snappy shop. Fashions a lady can afford.
There are several close-ups in this film where Atkins' eye makeup is a little overdone.
That was one right there. That was a little bit heavy.
And this is the part that I like because clearly...
she's analyzing Oreo cookie crumbs.
She's about to make that dirt cake that people like.
Oh, that's good stuff.
That they've run into the snag, and I actually thought it was reasonably clever in the script that if what had happened had really happened, all they have is these plastic and metal pieces, and they can't figure out why there's no part of a body, and I thought that was reasonably clever. In fact, does she kind of figure it out before she's done it? I know she's calling that other guy, and she says, there's this piece here that makes no sense. This wouldn't be on a car, and she's ding, ding, ding. She's like playing with it, and then I think maybe she gets dispatched before she gets her answer.
I heard all the B-roll for this movie is Tommy Atkins smelling his fingers.
Okay, so let me ask this question, because maybe I missed something that happened earlier. Did she go out and buy this? Is that where she was? Or did she just have this packed?
I think the assumption is this is what she's most comfortable sleeping in. Yeah. Because originally, she didn't even know,
batteries?
She didn't even know that Atkins was going to be coming with her.
Yeah, this doesn't make any sense.
Him coming with was a last-minute thing.
See, like, how he's working around showing her nipple.
That's right. She had a no-nipple clause.
Who visits your house every Christmas.
And leaves behind bras.
You know how they say, like, ooh, gross, this is like watching my parents doing it. This is like my parents doing it with Tom Atkins.
I wish...
What time is it in robot country?
I wish in the earlier shot they had showed the clock radio so we could actually see. Because Halloween's famous for this. In the first Halloween, in the first scene, when the two teenagers go up together, I used to do this in class for a cheap laugh.
Oh, like how quick it was?
That I would have a kid time it, and it's like 58 seconds. How about those high school boys?
Atkins goes for hours.
He's the most relatable character.
Wasn't Atkins the model for the Ever Ready Money?
She's literally a sex robot. Mm-hmm. Was he the model what?
Classic pleasure model.
No nipple.
Okay.
Oh, another thing. When we went to the Blade
while
Runner
screening, real life wife reads a book
by Carlos Santana. Did I read that correctly?
Co written by Rob Thomas.
He's was got that kind of loving that makes
that
her
Carlos
so smooth.
Castaneda?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that would really date the movie because he was really popular for a while, and I believe his books are nonsense.
This movie's kind of nonsense. But it's, you know, fun nonsense.
Okay, so you pick this thing up off the floor.
And then it shoots a laser in your mouth and makes snakes and bugs come out.
No, not yet. It's got like a circuit board.
Yeah?
Is your first inclination...
to scratch it. And then you sniff it.
You want to see what makes the blue laser come out.
Well, who does this?
She's a fucking scientist, bruh.
No, she's not. They tell us who she is.
Oh, yeah, she is.
She's not.
She likes to fucking tinker.
She's going to get Skynet in the mouth.
Whoa!
Oh! You motorboating son of
Tom,
a bitch.
Tom, I think that was your wife.
Yeah, that's the last load she'll take in her mouth. This is our dirtiest commentary. No, Sleepaway Camp might win. So this is genuinely, this is very gross.
Yeah.
That's upsetting.
That is a disturbing special effect.
Yeah, very effective. And gross. And then, of course, for no reason...
It's like they looked at the special effect and said, how can we make it worse? Because frequently throughout this film, it's implied that not only do these crazy Celts want to kill you, but they want to unleash the bugs in your head. Or are they somehow transmitting the bugs? It's very strange.
No, we all have the... Listen.
We all have bugs
we all have
in
the
our
bugs.
Head.
It's like Scientology. We all have bugs inside of us. And it takes a level 7 Thetan or a blue laser to release the bugs.
Atkins butt.
I think it's great how I understand that he needs all these sex breaks, but she's searching the mystery of her dead father, and she makes her really horny, apparently.
This is Atkins' way of comforting her. Yeah. This is the Atkins
has
way
anyone
of
picked up
guiding
she clearly
her through
has daddy
process.
Issues?
Yeah.
She's fucking Tom Atkins.
Yeah.
He's her replacement father.
So, back to the exploding head.
Yep.
The film suggests that different people have different bugs.
Sometimes, some people have snakes.
And the little kid has crickets.
Yeah.
And she has
kids
what looks
always
like,
have crickets.
And adult women have wasps.
Mm-hmm. Some the, adult women.
And the bugs on Tom Atkins.
And then the bad guy shows up. And
that's Buck Henry, by the way.
The bad guy shows up and tells the doctor we're taking her back to the factory. Which, unless the factory is Disney World, how could they have better medical facilities than a hospital? He's talking to a doctor.
Did you? The hospital didn't even attempt to save that burning guy. Like, you can't trust hospitals.
And they just left his car there.
They let that dude's nose get broken.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me throw this out.
Yep.
This is a conspiracy theory for Halloween 3. could Atkins only be pretending to be a doctor and the people in his town just kind of go along with the joke? Because he's not shown doctoring. The nurse is like, why don't you go take a nap? It's like you the village
right.
idiot.
You might be right.
You know.
Oh, he's here. He put on the
chalice. Yeah, you know, chalice. You know, it's chalice. Okay, Dr. Chalice.
And the one nurse is humoring him and everybody else has quit.
We missed the first appearance of Dan O'Hurley.
Yes, yeah. And there's this weird thing on the commentary in the featurettes. I think he was such that they only had him for a short period of time.
Sure.
Because everyone talks about how professional he was, but no one got close and no one interacted. So I kind of feel like Hurley, he was brought in and like did all of his scenes in 3 days.
Well, he really wanted to kill everybody's children, so they kind of shied away from him after he said that.
Hey, Hurley, I know you're a method actor, but don't touch my kid.
Oh, man. That, like a shot like that.
One more day till Halloween!
No, you will see the shot when we get to it.
By the way, that noise is not the Silver Shamrock theme. That's Stacey Nelken's robot fucking.
I could listen to that for 3 minutes.
Yeah. I really feel like he blew it with this lady.
Yeah, she seems really nice.
She's the one he should settle down with.
She's the coroner you take home to mom.
If she makes it to the end of this movie, they should try to make it work. I'll put that out there.
Okay, I believe is this the shot? It's either this one or the next one where she picks up the piece and suddenly she's putting together the pieces.
Atkins does a lot of phone acting in this movie.
He does.
He's constantly calling people.
Okay, she writes down the name.
Connell Cochran.
Whatever.
Spelled it correctly on the first try.
Whatever. I kept wondering if Connell had a brother named Anal.
Probably.
Oh. Remember in Kentucky Fried Movie in the Fistful of Ken sequence when the room is bugged?
Yeah.
That's what that shot always reminds
little,
me of.
A little bit clumsy there in terms of the whole privacy thing.
That truck didn't stop.
But yeah, this movie...
That's how we know they're evil.
This movie prefigures George W. Bush.
And now suddenly it looks like we're in a Wild West town.
Yeah, it really does look like a backlot set, for sure.
I wonder whose idea was the Shamrock Clock.
We all were thinking it. She looks especially like a Don Bluth drawing in this scene.
I thought it was a nice touch that this woman is wearing a little Halloween decoration on her blouse. I thought that was a nice attention to detail. But you'd expect that.
Atkins passes her a note that says, 60 years ago, I would have fucked you.
Because Tommy Lee Wallace was a production designer and is, well, why do the guys who work the stock room look like they're in the Army?
I'm just amazed with Cochran's plan, because... He had to wait so long for this to pay off.
It's the weirdest plan in horror movie history.
He had to build factories.
Yeah.
He had to like sell merchandise legitimately for years so people trusted him enough to sell it.
You
got to
build up the brand before you kill all the kids.
It's crazy to me.
Yeah, because later they take the salesman guy to the museum of what they used to do. And my feeling was he was once... sincerely interested in toys and jokes and novelties, and then he went bad. Because when you watch this, it's like a horror movie with a James Bond villain in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Bond, perhaps you'd like to see my operation, given that I know that you're going to die.
Super close attention to everything the kid does, because it becomes bittersweet, because this is all the last stuff he does. He's going to die, is what I'm saying.
No.
Yeah.
Shout Factory, Scream Factory... track down the kid.
Yeah.
And he's in the featurette, which I thought was a nice touch. He has since lost that beautiful head of hair.
It's been replaced by snakes and crickets. this is a super weird plan.
Yes.
So let's assume that the whole decades-long toy factory was legitimate, and then the guy went sour.
All right.
One day, he's making novelty devices, and he said...
You know what would be funny?
Let's kill all the kids.
Yeah.
Let's kill all the kids. And why is he angry? What is the reason he wants to kill the kids? because it's they disrespect the Halloween legend?
I don't even think he even says that. It's just that there's witchcraft, and he's a warlock. He's part of this witch coven, and every 2,000 years or something like that, they have this rapture, and this is what this is.
Okay, because he has that long monologue about Halloween.
Yeah, it was in Irish. I couldn't understand it.
Although the one line in that monologue I like is where he
looks shitty.
Where he
put it out.
Where he disdainfully says, "You let your children loose to beg for candy. Like, you're the lowest form of scum. You can't even afford to buy them candy. They have to beg like beggars in the street." And at this point, because I really like masks and things, I'm wondering if this is really the Don Post studio, which I don't think it is. I think they just brought this stuff in. And I wonder why they start...
Not one process is automated?
Well, yeah. Although
but everybody works there, so...
Although, in all honesty, at the real Don Post, I think that's the way they do it.
No,
all
right.
Why is the skeleton made out of black latex?
It's more to paint later.
Well, especially when you consider that the skull mask is white.
Right.
Let's start with black.
Yes, they need this town needs work.
Why? But no, because all the workers are robots. He won't hire
mask painters.
And at this point, you're saying this makes no sense. Here's a leap. This man is obsessed with these little mechanical gewgaws, and it's suggested that that's how he started. So how do you get from little beautiful mechanical toy to shitty rubber mask?
I don't think the leap is to shitty rubber mask. I think the leap is to Stacey Nelkin robot.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is progress.
Oh.
Because I would not fuck one of those little things.
You know what?
Well, hold on.
You're right, because you know what I forgot?
How much you like this movie?
Yeah. No. The knitting robot.
Yeah.
And the guy says, "Oh, German, it's going to be hard to get a new head."
Knitbot 2000. Here you go, son. I'm going to kill you.
What's the song?
At this point, when he puts it on, I'm reminded of...
It smells like snakes in here.
I'm reminded of all those masks and what it smelled like on the inside once you had worn it for more than 5 minutes.
So are the snakes like dormant inside the kid's body, or do they come out of the button?
Do I need to do the Scientology explanation again?
Yes.
Okay. Rewind the commentary. Go back. So it has occurred to me now. So we've done a bunch of these commentaries. We did Sleepaway Camp. We did Friday the 13th 3. We did The Burning. We did Maximum Overdrive. And now we've done Halloween 3. The only one of those movies that I genuinely don't like is Maximum Overdrive. The rest I'll have affection for, sorry, including this movie. No, it was a good suggestion. But a shit movie.
The one thing I like, because I don't think...
The one thing is it's been 52 minutes.
Yeah. No, he's just going to keep saying, no, it's just this one thing.
Nice orange tie on the middle guy, though. The middle guy is supposed to be the comic relief. I don't think any of that works. But the one part of that that does is that early on, he's crowing about how it's free. That we really liked that the hotel was comp and that they're going to get fed. And that I thought was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, of course, in real life, I am that guy.
It's a savage commentary on American culture. 1982. Reagan's America. You burnt. Tommy Lee Wallace would go on to make Fright Night 2, which is not very good. And the TV movie of It, which is half of a good movie.
The second half.
Oh, he directed that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first half of that is good. The second half, not as much.
There's a lot to like in that. I was surprised you recently did the 24-Hour King marathon.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you not include The Stand? Too long?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Only got time for one of those.
And it was It. What they're actually showing is the first generation there of the Stacey Nelkin robot.
Yeah, yeah,
it started as a forklift.
Just, yeah.
And then they discovered that they could reverse engineer a Nelkin.
They just put some frizzy hair on it.
In fact, if you
giant eyes.
If you look at
She's like, "That's my brother."
If you look at the forklift really tiny on the side, it says Nelkin 2000. And that's foreshadowing. Behind their heads there's an empty light socket.
Okay.
It makes me wonder, did they find that there was no bulb? Did they take the bulb out because they thought it was distracting?
Atkins took it out to fuck it.
And by that you mean the This song. He had to crawl up there.
Yes. He has no limits. For real, though. I mean, he drinks, he womanizes, he abandons his family, he smokes. He's just such a weird protagonist.
He naps on the job.
And yet, he's the one who's right.
I wonder if that was deliberate.
No, everything in this movie happened by accident.
There's things that happen by accident. Also, is Rose of Shannon a thing for Irish people? Because there's Rose of Sharon, that's a biblical character, and there's a character in Grapes of Wrath named Rose of Sharon. But what is Rose of Sharon?
Hold on, I'm watching this on TV.
Okay, sorry.
Ooh, it's dancing. I like that.
By the way, Atkins on the phone again.
Yeah.
A lot of phone acting in this movie.
I asked Pat Healy at Flashback Weekend if... At, what? Pat Healy? Yeah. Well, yeah. I asked him because I was curious. He did. I was curious if he's done a lot of phone acting in his career in Compliance and also in Draft Day in the sequence where he's talking to Kevin Costner. And I said, were you really talking to those people or was it a recording? And he said in Compliance, it's all people talking to each other. But in Draft Day... Kost was too good to talk to Pat Healy, so he had to listen to a recording. So I ask you, Tom Atkins, because I know you're listening.
He's talking to Kevin Costner.
Were you talking to Kevin Costner?
The answer is yes.
And do you love Draft Day as much as...
No one he loves was Draft Day as much as Adam does.
I love Draft Day.
Better or worse than Halloween 3?
It's better.
Ooh, you need corporate America at its worst.
All right, well, thanks. It was, my time here was fun.
Fuck out.
On the featurette,
he can't decide if he should pick up the phone or fuck something.
Someone fucks the phone.
On the featurette, Tom Atkins talks about filming this stuff, and on the days and nights they filmed this, he said there were a lot of real night shoots. He was sicker than a dog, and he didn't feel like doing it. He thought he was going to pass out. He thought he was going to throw up. And then he said they wound up using about a third of what they shot. All of this... The running on the rooftop and all that stuff. He said he's just sick to death. Huh. There's one of the shots that
probably has an STD.
If they had framed it that way on purpose to have the menacing factory.
Yeah.
But later there's a shot where the factory is really obvious and I can't tell whether it's an optical or whether they framed it that way. And then later, of course, we have one of the worst looking optical shots.
Oh, ever. Yeah. At the very end.
When it's on fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then later after that, we have the end credits.
Mm-hmm. Which are charming.
That tells you who worked on the movie.
On the phone again. Like.
He sure is.
Yeah. I'm getting my quarterback.
For real. I don't know that I've ever noticed. Maybe it's because we're watching it with the sound down.
No. It's incredible.
He's on the phone like a lot. Yeah. Like a lot.
I like how he calls home so much, too, like to remind him what a bad father he is.
Because
like,
it's never good news.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to be by for another year.
Also, don't put those masks on.
I'll see you in 83.
It's like, no, put those masks on.
He was being a dick to his son in Creed. He got Father of the Year award in 82, Tom Atkins did.
There's the factory again, and I'm wondering if some of the phone stuff is horror again... Crap. A shout out to Invasion of the Body Snatchers, because in Invasion of the Body Snatchers, there's characters who use the phone and try to, and it turns out that the operator is this creepy, emotionless, that you obviously can't get anything done because the pod people have already taken over the phone system.
I wonder if he's improvising any of these movements or if this was all scripted. He's like, I'm going to hunch, I'm going to touch, I'm going to hunch, touch, 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 touch.
You have no idea how many times they had to film this before they got it right. Before he's hunching down because he thinks that someone can see him through the windows? Would that be the rationale behind that?
Yeah, maybe.
And at this point, we could try to figure out how many masks they actually made. And how much they had to, like, move them around to make it look like... Like, how many did they need?
Well, the rest of the movie really is just, like, to the mask factory and then back to the motel. It's a lot of back and forth.
Yes, it belies its low-budget origin because this film does not have many sets.
No. Well, again, they kept cutting costs, you know. They did all these things to save money, and yet the movie was still considered a bomb. Even though I think it made money. I don't know, but again, the response was so angry because it had no Michael duck. Myers. Because that's what we needed.
Rack focus.
Another Michael Myers movie.
At this point, we're stunned into silence by Atkins' sheer acting ability. Without any dialogue to fall back on, he's captivating us with his very physical presence and how well he opens a door.
Mike, where do you rank this?
I go Friday 13th, Part 7.
Atkins is gonna
fuck. There's your nitbot. Nitbot.
In the Halloween series, where do you rank this?
I don't know. I go 1.
Okay.
I'm a little bit like you. I think I go back and forth on Halloween 2.
Could that be foreshadowing for Nelka?
I think it's all foreshadowing.
Or is that just them reusing a gag?
I think this movie is fucking...
Because watching something's head come clockwork. Off is... Dick Warlock again. Stunt coordinator.
Oh, look at all those packing peanuts they're going to have to pick up.
Isn't Dan O'Hurley in this movie is kind of a Dick Warlock, isn't he? So you go back and forth on 2.
4 and 3. I'm not sure what 1. 1 is my favorite, and then
okay.
So maybe 1, 4, 3, 2?
Okay.
I'm not sure. How about yourself?
Are you not counting 6, H2O?
There's those? No point. I mean, no. Once you get beyond 4.
Oh, I love the yellow goo.
Yeah? That's weird.
I think that works. Yeah. In fact,
it's good thing he has a dick cloth to wipe his hand off.
No. In just a few minutes, they show him wiping his hand, and when you look at the consistency of the goo, it's like, I'm not sure if just wiping it off is enough. I know we've had this conversation before, and I know in some ways it's like Beatles versus the Rolling Stones, but Halloween is one of my favorite horror films of all time. The first one, I just think it's endlessly great. And then there are other films that other people would argue are better. Like you've said, you admire Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
But it doesn't get you.
Yeah.
That you prefer Nightmare.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So I've always thought that the Halloween Nightmare thing is a little bit like the Beatles versus the Rolling Stones, and maybe we should just appreciate that we have both.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
But every time I watch the first Halloween, it's like...
It's a masterpiece.
Yeah. I won't argue with that.
And especially when you consider when it was made... And where Deborah Hill and Carpenter were coming from, you watch it and it's like, it's amazing that they could like conjure, it's like an alchemist who says he's going to make gold out of Coca-Cola and
or like metal a warlock shavings. Who says he's going to make masks.
A dick warlock. See, this, look, what?
Yeah.
Is that really helping?
Well, it's helping more than it's not helping.
Your hand is still orange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's still from his last night.
And there's the nit. Oh God! Then she needs to see a doctor.
She's the a fucking robot.
Happy Halloween, guys.
The nitbot 2000's head is definitely foreshadowing for the Nelkin thing. Also, when he knocks the head off, there's something inside the head that looks a lot like that piece that the coroner is looking at that she can't figure out why that's part of the car. Did they paint that railing orange to make it Halloween color?
I don't know. I mean,
look at that railing.
If someone was here, I would ask that person.
I've also wondered, wouldn't Final Processing be a really good title for a horror film?
I believe it is.
So is he in shock, or is this like a crab-infested downslide?
This is the James Bond scene.
He's mad with syphilis.
Where O'Hurley, for no reason, shows him, it like the guy's so goddamn proud of what he's doing.
Well, he's getting away with it.
Yeah.
No, it's that Austin Powers thing where someone should just come in and say, shoot him.
Yeah.
Shoot him. I've got a gun in my room. I'll go get it.
He's a doctor. He doesn't have a gun.
No. The bad guy.
So, as you were saying earlier, we just saw Dick Warlock
yes.
killed, and now he's back.
And it made me wonder for a second, would it be more effective if every suit were the same guy? But A, they would never have been able to pull that off back right. in 82.
They couldn't even do that in the fucking Matrix sequel.
And B,
Mr. Chalice.
Wouldn't that really give it away to the townspeople who would suddenly notice?
Do fucking robots serve you with purpose? Does purpose give you a reason to fuck more robots? Have you seen our Stonehenge? I like the line later.
What are these guys working on their computers?
Yeah.
Just flashing lights.
The light bright machine.
This is yet another example of kind of the future and the past where the past got it wrong. But every time they show the guys at the computer banks, I keep expecting them to bring Snake Plissken in. And then that's where the two movies intersect.
That would be all right.
Because at the beginning of that, there's that high-tech area where he gets processed.
That's maybe the only thing this movie's missing.
Snake?
This movie can't handle that much testosterone.
That's true.
Well, when the little kid dies, we can all shout, Snake Plissken!
I thought you'd be taller. That's an Escape from L.A. reference.
Yeah. Maybe this is a rock. I'm going to club you to death with it.
Maybe the different bugs come from the different masks.
Hmm.
Are your minds blown?
Oh. We don't know what mask the first one came off. Oh, no, she had a witch mask, right?
Yeah.
I think Adam's onto something. Atkins' wife. So, pumpkin, crickets.
Right.
That's because when the pumpkin kills you, it silences everyone. Crickets. The witch has hornets. We are never shown what... At the end, Hurley puts a skull mask on Atkins, but he escapes. We're never allowed to see the bug that the skeleton brings.
Shoot.
I think Hitchcock would have liked this movie because it shows people scene. Who are... Yes. Well, your reason's better than mine. There's no point in continuing. I was going to say it's because they show a lot of people who are really good at their jobs.
Atkins' job is crushing ass.
Yep. Dude, it gives Red Lobster crabs.
And here's the staging area.
Oh my god. And of course, this guy's so impressed that he gets a free night in a cheap hotel that he will gladly be led down what is clearly a prison hallway.
Yeah, right.
I love when the wife discovers that there's nothing behind the drapes. That's a nice touch. But I think the ruse...
Who was her costume design?
The ruse here is that Hurley, he wants this idiot to watch some commercials and get his feedback. And that's enough to placate this dunderhead.
Ooh.
I'm afraid if they would really give him a test... He would not do very well. The test is, how long does it take you to figure out you're in a prison room?
Be honest, do they need that many video monitors? There's only a couple guys. Just the one would probably do it. They could just watch the one.
In the spirit of Brad Pitt...
She should put that fruit on her head. And it would match that hideous costume.
In the spirit of Brad Pitt in Ocean's 11, is the wife always eating something?
This place kind of looks like not the fact or the test room. No bullshit. Kind of looks like my grandpa's condo.
Really?
Yeah, it was like straight out of the '70s. He never updated it after that, and it really like.
So you have like the corrugated wall.
I feel at home right now. I've been to this place.
It's time. Put your mask on, asshole.
One of the reasons why people...
Free the snakes inside you.
What?
Oh, wait.
Atkins is all about freeing the snake inside him.
Well, no, I was going to say, St. Patrick drove the snakes...
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Current modern day apologists for this film suggest that one of the reasons why we should like
fans.
It... is that it's transgressive and that they show children being killed, which doesn't happen a lot in horror films.
So, yeah, this freaked me out because I just saw a clip and I couldn't figure out what was happening. That shot right there gave me nightmares, I think. I don't know. I was kind of a pussy. Atkins trying to fuck me.
she's so terrified that she can't eat her grapes. And I what always thought, but what?
Zoinks.
The kid who played the kid has a funny story on the featurette. They did not have a bug wrangler on this film. And after they filmed this scene, you could hear crickets in the studio every day until they finished filming. They just let them go. Could the crickets be food for the spider?
Did they say that? Did the kid say if he had to sit there with all these bugs crawling around him, or was he able to get up and they used a dummy?
Actually, in the featurette, he explains very clearly when it's this and when it's him and when it's
all a dummy. As soon as it's on the floor, you can see behind the mask, and it's a very fake head.
Right, but he said at one point the shoulders and the hands were his. That it was both.
All right,
and there he's down for the count. Could this be a case of, like, I knew an old lady who swallowed a spider? She swallowed the spider to catch the fly. I don't know why she swallowed a fly. So the kid was full of crickets. Let's just say the kid was full of crickets.
As kids are.
Mm-hmm. He swallowed the spider to catch the crickets. I don't know why he swallowed those crickets.
Yeah.
Perhaps he has rickets.
I can test to make a phone call.
Mr. Toymaker, before you kill me, I believe I'm entitled to one phone call.
Better Dan O'Herlihy performance, this or RoboCop 2?
RoboCop 2 is good because he goes, behave yourself! Which he never says in this movie.
No.
Best Dan O'Herlihy performance, Last Starfighter.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
Thank you. Directed by Nick Castle,
mm-hmm.
Also friend of John Carpenter.
Also director of Major Payne.
Also director of Mr. Wrong.
And Dennis the Menace.
Here's proof that Patrick is wrong.
Ah, Dayton.
The masks are flying off the shelf. And look how effective.
I didn't say they aren't flying. I said they shouldn't be flying.
Look how effective.
This is fucking confusing. I'm a witch with a... They sell a witch mask, dumbass.
Look how effective these subtitles are. Because
Landis Department Store.
Did you ever notice that, by putting
words on the screen.
It's not a costume. That's just clothes with a pumpkin mask.
Did you ever notice that Baton Rouge looks a lot like Dayton?
I was just going to say that clearly these were filmed within a block of each other.
But we're coming up on, like, the best shot.
But it's the magic of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they made this shot into a t-shirt.
I think I know the shot you're talking about.
But yeah, it's the one on the t-shirt. It was also the cover of the novelization, I think. But I could be wrong. The novelization
might
have been that.
We haven't seen it yet.
IMDb trivia, they said the novelization was, like, a bestseller.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it did really, like, better than the movie.
This shot here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I whenever I see this, it reminds me of the Halloween sequence in E.T.
Yeah.
It's framed and it's very beautiful. Plus, that looks like L.A., not where they just said it was.
Guess what,
guys?
Well,
I think we're supposed to be back in L.A., aren't we?
But
Chicago
there was just words
didn't
on
fall
the
for that
oh,
shit.
Oh, sorry. That's clearly Phoenix.
Chicago didn't fall for this shit.
No. Hell no.
<Mm-mm>.
All the kids in Chicago.
That's Tommy Atkins dressed
Spenguli.
Up as a woman making a phone call. Berwyn.
Okay, here's the piece that I've been talking about incessantly for a half an hour.
She has a name, you can't call her a piece.
And by that I mean not only piece of the film, but what she's holding, and I swear to God, this little thing that she's playing with looks a lot like what we saw inside the neck of the Nitbot 2000.
This movie's got layers.
Is that a hickey on her neck?
Yes. Atkins gave it to her over the fucking phone.
Atkins strikes again. And again, I know we're supposed to empathize with the human characters, and but it really seems...
You say that like you're irritated.
I want to empathize with the robots, but I just can't. I tried. This is tragic. She's done nothing.
That's what I mean. That's why I said I feel bad for her. Most of the other characters that die, I'm fine with.
Wait a minute.
Fuck him.
Wait a minute.
Yeah?
Something just occurred to me.
Okay.
Maybe it's not Herlihy in the mask. Maybe you fuck Atkins, you die.
Well, then it's It Follows.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Also, it suggests that there's like an orgy scene with that family that we didn't see.
Yes.
That he was...
Yes.
Yeah.
He was off gallivanting at one point. He got around in that pink motel.
Now it's time for you to call me buddy.
There's something so iconic about him taking the drill out of the drawer. And if you're a horror fan.
Drill drawer?
Yeah, you're getting ready for it. One of you had said Hitchcock, but I think you were making a joke because people are good at their jobs. But the first shot of the drill coming out of the drawer, I actually think that's very effective.
Yeah, because this fucking movie is good.
I wouldn't go that far.
And yet you've done nothing but praise it.
I wouldn't say it's good. I'd say it's
very good. So you would say this is a pick as opposed to a passable or a pan.
Oh, is that that idiot?
No.
Adam?
No. Who uses right that here. System? Who uses that system? I thought that was Lights, Camera, Jackson.
No, Lights, Camera, Jackson has the LCJ scorecard. Or the LCJ report card.
No, we're not at the shot yet.
Oh, God. Can you imagine if LCJ played the kid in this movie?
This would literally be my favorite movie.
Okay. Another way that this is like James Bond. I've got you. This is how I'm going to kill you. I'm leaving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He wants him to just bear witness.
Yes, and here's the reason they paid him all the money. Because Hurley gets this very long monologue.
And he dips in and out of an Irish accent in this scene, too.
And I so wish he had spent less time talking about Halloween and more time explaining to me what Stonehenge has anything to do with this. Just Tommy Lee Wallace, throw us a bone. Throw us three or four sentences. Of course, throwing us a bone.
That's Atkins
department. You guys can,
yeah, well, this, you know, they introduce Stonehenge later on. Druids show up in the Halloween mythology, so it's all a bunch of nonsense. Again, I can't think of another horror franchise that took, like, this hard of a turn, you know, at any point in its franchise. It's not even a slasher film with a different slasher. Right. It's a completely different genre.
In retrospect, though, and it's many years later, you can see what they were thinking.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
It makes sense.
And I feel like had they done that, I think this movie's reputation would have actually been restored a lot sooner.
Because
I think it was carrying the stigma of what were you guys thinking making a Halloween movie without Michael Myers?
That the minute you go back to Myers, well, then this is the redheaded stepchild.
Right.
And especially if other anthology films had been
one of the pumpkins instead. I've never seen a snake before.
The joke's on you, pal. My beer gut's going to break through this strap.
Oh.
Happy Halloween. Happy Halloween. Oh, and one more thing.
I still remember that was used in the trailer.
Well, of course.
I wish I was watching Satan's Little Helper.
So, this
is hour 11 minutes till the big giveaway, guys.
This is a quibble.
Sweet.
Why? Maybe he's just underplaying here. The minute Hurley leaves, wouldn't you, like, it takes him a real long time to seem to want to be escaping.
Because he had only ever seen the first two-thirds of Halloween. So I want to see how this shit plays out. Does that nice girl I fucked in the fog get away?
Yeah. He's scanning the room for phone or pussy, and he can't find it, so he decides to leave.
I gotta get out of here. Daddy's got an itch.
Yeah. I got three quarters in my pocket and a dry dick cloth. Get me out of here.
Maybe
Atkins, fuck. Atkins, fuck. Atkins, fuck.
Maybe
Atkins,
maybe what we saw was him formulating the plan. If I kick in the TV, I'll get the shard of glass that I need to. But here, unless I'm missing something, you kick in the TV, there's shards of glass.
Right.
But you're still tied up. So how do you get the shard? I mean, at this point, he's got like little Tyrannosaurus Rex hands because he's tied up. Look at this. How did he come on?
No, this movie's totally fake.
He got a piece of glass from the TV.
No, but he has to use the glass to cut the thing to get his hands free. Yeah. His hands aren't free. His hands are tied.
Oh yeah, that's way more ridiculous. Yeah.
There's gonna be snakes and
bugs crawling out of the camera.
In the trivia, they said it took 40 takes to get there.
Kurt Russell made that half court shot in one.
Did he really?
Yeah,
I remember, dude.
Remember that. This, of course, is a very old edict.
So did Sigourney Weaver in Alien Resurrection, by the way.
From behind. Yeah, I remember that. John Carpenter commentary track alone, Stay Away. John Carpenter commentary track, anyone else?
Kurt Russell.
Oh, yeah.
In particular, yeah. Kurt Russell. They just laugh and then ask how each other's kids' soccer teams are going.
That's a rule.
Yeah. The commentary that he recorded recently for that 40th anniversary Halloween with Jamie Lee Curtis. Have you ever listened to it?
No.
I love it.
It's pretty entertaining.
It's so entertaining.
Because it's just Jamie Lee Curtis.
Do you think he's in this
yelling at Carpenter because the movie's scary?
Yeah, she's
John,
scared.
John, come on. That's scary. Oh, John, look. That's scary. Look at that.
At one point, he's like, you've seen this.
Come out to L.A., we'll have a couple laughs. Now I know what a TV dinner feels like. Okay, there you go.
Do you think he climbed into this air shaft just because he wanted to feel something tight?
And metallic,
yeah!
And warm, sometimes. Unless the air conditioning's out.
That dude is my favorite extra. You can have your fireman.
I do like, in O'Herlihy's performance, that several times he's called upon to be the avuncular toy maker, and he does it with such distaste. There's that one shot where he's sort of leering. I thought that's a nice touch. And then Goodenough is underneath this, and he's shooting up with a machine gun.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. I hope they didn't see me.
And here's more of the Atkins running around stuff where he said he was really sick. Run, Atkins, run. Don't run to freedom.
If it's Halloween,
why don't they ship these boxes out?
Yeah.
They're trying to get some inventory for next year. It's like Willy Wonka where he's told
them. To sell to who?
Yeah.
No.
Kids are all dead.
No, it all.
Newborns?
So they just have to fucking take a bath on those things?
Look what he found. Look what he found.
Yeah! Sweet liberty.
You get the feeling if the Atkins character had had a cell phone, it would be like, well, this takes all the fun out of it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like cheating. The game is to find the phone. And I always thought it'd be so funny. Oh, wait, no, I'm right. He calls his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife wants to do nothing.
He knows the plan now.
Right, his wife wants to do nothing but yell at him.
He's trying to save his own kids. Fuck everyone else.
But like what Adam was saying before, I think it was funny if he's dripping sweat and he's terrified and he wants to get help. And he gets his wife on the phone just to tell her he won't be coming next week. Also, I love the little Hawaiian pail of pens, which is a nice art direction detail. Who shall I call next?
Oh, God.
Beep, boop.
I was going to say...
Here's Vicky.
Anyone who doubts this, they've had plenty of time.
Why did they then, like, lay down and tie up the... So he could find her, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind. I answered my own question.
That this is secret weapon number
Quick,
three.
Quick, guys, push the buttons.
In the fight against Atkins.
This is where Devo works when they're not on tour.
Once we have this incredible twist, I think it's so wonderful that the first time Nelken gets a close-up, it's clear she's trying to...
alter her performance?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even in that shot, she was.
So he's taking Nelken back to where he should least want to be. Oh, I love that. What is the other horror film where something... could I be thinking of Evil Dead 2 where the bucket moves in the background? In the foreground, it's Ash. I can't remember. And the bucket with his hand under it starts to move. That there's several horror films where the foreground is in focus, the background is sort of out of focus, and it's very much like that mask shot. In fact, in Piranha, isn't there a shot where like something at the beginning, something moves in the lab?
I don't remember.
Give me a second, I'll think of it.
All right.
Definitely the bucket, because he's put a book on top of it. It's Farewell to Arms, and then the bucket still moves. We call it the moving bucket.
Is that a phone in there?
Ooh, Atkins has an idea.
Good thing this was wedged in here for no reason.
What's the word they use? It misfires.
Yeah.
So he's going to do a misfire. I always assumed he brings Nelken, excuse me, Robo Nelken, back into the room just so she can fucking explain what Stonehenge has to do with this. You see that rock?
At any point when she's post-robot, does she talk? I don't think she does.
I think she does.
That seems crazy. But she would not.
That would be a cool thing to pull off. Almost
especially
like,
if none of us noticed it.
Almost like Lena Lamont in Singing in the Rain. That they're actually able to go really far before they tip it, that she's got this crazy voice.
She's a robot.
Let's watch to see if she talks.
This isn't the first time somebody's compared Halloween 3 to Singing in the Rain.
I believe it's the first time anyone has ever made that comparison. Thank you very much.
I heard that Tom Atkins acted so hard that his shoes were filled with blood during certain scenes.
I actually get that reference.
That was just for you.
Now, what is he doing?
He's turning off the light bright.
No, you know what? He thinks it's a phone.
He knows how to program this
thing. He's like, nothing gets my cock harder than dialing 9 for an outside line.
Okay, here's the big plan.
Here comes the fuck you science scene.
You know, in all honesty, I'm starting to think that they pulled it off, that she doesn't talk, which is pretty good. And now, ladies and gentlemen, if you've been dying to see some 80s era special effects,
era.
Get ready.
Era.
Good job.
Here fuck comes. You, science!
Make it rain, Atkins.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's all it takes.
No snakes and bugs for these guys.
Is it just me, or do those things look like pogs? Remember pogs?
They do look like pogs.
They look like slammers.
Notice Dick Warlock is the only one. Yeah. So that was a pre-existing medical condition that he had a pus.
The Warlock model.
Yeah, he's got a pus problem. This took me 30 years to get to this day. And you ruin it by upending a box in the rafters? God damn it, am I stupid?
Good call.
They say the luck of the Irish. Jesus Christ.
You never know, he might still get the last laugh.
Why did we arrange all the computers in a circle? God damn it! I thought it was some of that Irish whimsy.
And what do we make of this?
This is the Stargate opening.
Is this just a super misfire? I don't...
This is the beginning of the Jupiter and Beyond the Infinite sequence.
Greatest sarcastic clap ever in movie history.
But again, we began by saying this makes no sense, but this almost makes the misfire of the chips make perfect scientific sense.
Yeah.
That once you short-circuit the computer monitors, the guy in charge will get blue light through his head.
And then
he'll look like he's made of salt.
And then disappear. There it is.
That's the worst special effect.
It's pretty bad.
But what I'm saying is, and we missed it, earlier there's a shot of the factory, and I'm not sure, and it's clearly not that.
Still pretty bad.
But it made me wonder if it was an optical or not. And now, the big twist. Atkins trying to get some romantic music.
She still has not spoken.
I think Adam called this one. That's actually...
It's a phone pun.
And when I say called this one, he called Tom Atkins.
Yeah.
Although it looked like she did just mouth bleep blorp.
No, I actually... Yeah, I... That's...
I got your nose.
Like, it's so much harder than that to kill Atkins. 8 kinds of VD haven't done it.
Years later, there would be a very similar sequence to what we just saw in the movie Scream.
Yeah.
Remember 80s steering wheel?
No.
I do. Oh, wow. Think about that. I was driving in the 80s.
Yeah.
Mike wasn't even born.
That's so weird.
You hadn't been born yet?
Oh, boy. Do it, Atkins.
Kiss her. Kiss her.
Kiss her.
Kiss
her. Kill her. Kill her. Kiss her. Kill her. Kill her and then kiss her.
Do it.
I don't want a woman with a flipper.
That's nuts. And again, Roger Ebert spoiled it at the end of his review.
Yeah. Thanks, Raj.
Yep.
And again, we know how they did it.
Yeah, they killed Stacey Nelkin.
No. The last shot with the head off, that's, I actually like that a lot.
It would be great if they did one Ebert Fest with just movies that he spoiled.
It's the special effect that any kid can do in their backyard.
Yeah.
Assuming you can dig a Stacey Nelkin-sized hole.
I've had one in my backyard for years.
Tom Atkins dug Stacey Nelkin-sized holes earlier in the movie.
And I gotta say, I like the hand in the arm. I like that. That's good. In fact, that's a lot like Evil Dead 2.
Yeah.
Put it on your dick.
I've got a call to make.
I'm gonna take this with me.
Actually, you're right. That's the next thing he's gonna do.
Yeah.
She's got the Dick Warlock puss.
Mm-hmm. But does she have the touch? I was hoping I could get Patrick to sing
that. No, I'm not doing it.
By the way, $5 for every time Patrick told me to put it on his dick.
Still coming again. Come on, that's great. Like, how many times can they do the same gag? I love it.
She's like, ew, corduroy pants. That's the last thing these robot fingers touched. Corduroy pants.
Just regretting, my kryptonite. Regretting everything.
I can't stick around here. I gotta call home and tell them the next 3 weekends are out. And then, like a bad freshman essay, we go back to the beginning.
Yeah.
To show the circle of life.
Yeah.
And Samuel L. Jackson's older brother.
Aren't you that fake doctor?
No, they're still playing along. And again...
Okay. They even got the gas station attendant to play along.
They couldn't figure out a way to have Tom Atkins chase a truck. But what he's about to do on the phone is very similar to the end of the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers with Kevin McCarthy.
Are there kids on the East Coast awake at midnight?
Oh.
Who are dying?
So, did the bad guy, besides not realizing that the blue misfire would hoist him by his own petard,
did not factor in
time zones?
No, he must not have.
Because now, if you're supposed to watch the damn TV at 9 o'clock, somewhere they're watching at 6, and back then that's going to cut into your trick-or-treating time. Mm-hmm. You're not going to give up that golden candy-getting time to watch some damn movie.
So you're saying the screenplay isn't ironclad?
There are some holes. Most of them belonging to Stacey Nelkin.
No.
I'm sorry, I just wanted to join in on the general ribaldry.
It's fine, because had you not filled frivolous. In the silence, I was literally going to make a joke about Atkins fucking the holes in the script. Oh, and there is again, the great last shots from Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
I actually wondered if, besides his screaming face, maybe we would want to end on a couple more of the pumpkin. So it's that's a quibble, but if right. that's the point they're trying to make, I think you should do that rather than do the shouting face pay on to Invasion of the Body Snatchers, that suddenly we're sitting there watching a screen with the pumpkin flashing, and then they can make that
point. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it would have been like the worst choice, but I actually find him screaming into the camera and then it cutting like hard to black. And again, I know it's Invasion of the Body Snatchers, but I find it like unsettling. I think it's an effective ending.
Oh,
it's,
by the way, to all you listeners, good. If you listen to this commentary all the way to the very end, bugs and snakes will come out of your head and ears. So just try us.
It's cool. It just, tickles.
You know.
Listen to the podcast, kids, and soon we're going to give away a prize. And the prize is a cricket, but it's not a pet cricket. It's coming out of your brain. We should suggest, and maybe this is just me because I'm old and sad. When you get to this podcast, when you post the podcast, you know, you go to the thing and you click it and then it takes you to the thing where you can listen to it.
Yeah.
Perhaps some indication that this one is a tad more ribald than usual, or do we not have to worry about that?
I don't know. I'm okay with it at this point.
Okay. At this point, I just want to point out that I am JB, that I teach in northern Minnesota. That there's a certain Illinois school district that might think I'm an employee there, but that's not true. I'm a Minnesotan through and through.
Before we end, you should admit that you like this movie.
Yeah, you really should. You seemed invested.
Or that it's better than you gave it credit for.
Even?
Given the plot holes, insert joke here, or insert Tom Atkins' dick here, and the low budget, I think some of the things it's trying to do are really marvelous and not seen in other films.
Yes.
There you go.
There we go.
And I remember when this first came out, to show you what a hopeless nerd I am, the thing that got me to go see this, because I remember knowing that it wasn't going to be, they got that message across to me, maybe I read it in a magazine or something, that one of the reasons why I wanted to go, this is 82, so I'm 20. Was the masks. I thought that was like, oh, there's a movie with masks, and I like masks, so that's why I went.
How was that way with the movie The Mask?
How was that way with the movie Mask? Thank you guys.
He was bitterly disappointed.
For listening very much. Thank you guys for being on the podcast. Thanks for being on the commentary. We hope you like Halloween 3. Big ups to Coke Totosian. And thank you guys. Happy Scary Movie Month.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Silver Shamrock Halloween. Halloween.
Those are not the fucking words.
Silver Shamrock Halloween. It's your funeral.
Thanks for listening to FS Movie.